In last week's sermon, Elimelech and his wife Naomi and their two sons left Judah and the city of Benjamin and traveled to Moab, some 30 miles away, due to a famine in the land. Naomi was there about 10 years, in which time Mahlon and Chilion married Moabite women. And you know Orpah and Ruth were their names. And during this 10-year period, Elimelech died, and also Naomi's two sons. In verse 6, we saw the thought, then she arose that she might return, for she had heard that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. If you would, let's please stand together and we'll read from Ruth chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. Ruth chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. It says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to sing the songs of praise and, Lord, even the blessing of giving to you as you have blessed us. But, Lord, now as we look at this book of Ruth and as we take out a portion of it, may, Lord, we be willing to serve you faithfully all the days of our life. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And if you would, again, the book of Ruth, chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 15. Ruth 1:15, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And some said unto them, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me and the Almighty hath afflicted me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Our first glimpse of Ruth is as of a young widow robbed by death of her husband. Ruth had been raised in a land steeped in idolatry. Oh, they had religion, and unfortunately, many religions are based on superstition, and even some so-called Christian religions are full of superstitions. All may not believe, but I'm glad that we are in a country that has the true Word of God. What a blessing it is to have God's Word proclaimed according to God's Word, not man's interpretation of it. And though all may not believe, thank God the message is still being proclaimed. Naomi had heard that the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. May I say this? God has blessed America with bountiful supplies. Not only do we have much in our grocery aisles and on the shelves, but we have gospel preaching churches. And what a blessing that is. Naomi's plan was to return to Bethlehem and to have her daughters-in-law travel with her, which apparently at first was all right with Rachel and Orpah. But then for some reason, Naomi changes her mind. I don't know if it's because of guilt or the, you know, making her daughter-in-laws leave where they had grown up, or she was saying that, you know, okay, you can stay here as I return. Maybe she wanted them to make the decision. We're not so, but we find in verse 14 that Orpah wept, but Ruth cleaved to Naomi. I find it interesting in verse 15 that she says to Ruth, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. I tell you what, I would not want my daughter-in-law to return to her gods of old. Our one daughter-in-law was raised in Utah, was raised as a Mormon. I wouldn't want her to go back to her old ways. You know, I'm glad that she went to vacation Bible school at a Baptist church there in Spanish Forks, Utah. And for the first time in her life, she learned the truth. And by the end of the week, she had accepted Christ as her Savior. Amen. Her sisters and brother came to know Christ as their Savior, and her mother and dad, and then her dad became a Baptist preacher. Isn't that amazing? Because she went to a vacation Bible school in a Baptist church. Our other daughter-in-law was saved at a young age at the Faith Baptist Church in Dearborn Heights. You know, we're glad that our family knows Christ as their Savior. 2 Corinthians 6:14 tells us, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Mahlon had been wrong to marry Ruth in the first place. But our Lord is merciful. And apparently Ruth had seen the difference between the Hebrew God and the Moabite idols. Herbert Lockyer writes, bereft of her husband, Ruth, as well as Orpah, would be left without material resources of support and would face the hard and bitter lot of biting poverty. Unquote. Many of you have suffered the loss of a dear family member, a husband, a wife, a child, sibling. Maybe you've lost a child or a sibling of late. My brother died some 25 years ago. Donna had a sister that passed away about 10 years ago. It's hard when you lose a sibling, especially when you don't really know why. But we find here that death had visited Naomi's family three times. You know, it requires a lot of grace for someone to say, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ruth heathen though she may have been, seemed to have calmly agreed to follow the divine will. And she is willing to follow Naomi home. We first see her as a young widow, and then we see her as a faithful daughter-in-law. Grief had bound them together. And now we're going to find out about the main character of this book. For Ruth is the main character. And we would say that Naomi is the main supporting cast member. We see that her part in the drama is to get Ruth to Bethlehem, where the Holy Spirit will lead her to the field of Boaz, and we'll see that in the coming weeks. And Boaz, as we know, is a kinsman of Naomi's husband. And so Naomi, bereaved of her two sons who were childless, had no reason to stay in Moab, and so she returns to Judah and to Bethlehem. And Ruth is going to go with her. And she makes this great declaration of love here in the book of Ruth. And though sometimes used at marriage ceremonies, it was made between a daughter-in-law and her bitter mother-in-law. For her mother-in-law was bitter. She says, "I left full and I've come back empty." I find it interesting that she blames God. You know how often people blame God for bad things that happen in their life? Boy, if God hadn't allowed that, well, who made the decision to leave Judah? She made the decision. But then she blames God for the consequences. But one thing we see here in Ruth, a freedom, or shall we say a desire free of selfishness. She is not selfish. Would you agree we live in a selfish society? In fact, we are encouraged to be selfish. But Ruth was not. She goes, "I'll go back with you. I'll go to a place I've never been before. I'll go to a place where I don't know the people and their customs. I will go back with you. I will take care of you. I will take care of you." She was humble. She was loving, and she would not abandon her mother-in-law. When Ruth began to understand who the Lord Jehovah is, she decides to follow her back. And though we do not know when she made this decision, we're glad that she did. For she no longer could bow down to the gods of wood and stone, but she could bow down now to the God who created us, our Creator God. I feel sorry for those who try to believe evolution. If you just would simply think about the digestive system, how could that possibly just happen? And yet we are told we have to believe it. Folks don't believe it. Amen. Believe that there is a Creator God who designed us in all our marvelous ways. Amen. Verse 22. Last phrase. I have it highlighted in my Bible. It was not a mistake. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. The harvest is a time of blessing. Time of victory. 1 Corinthians 3. I'm going to turn there. You may want to turn also to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Great thought of Paul to the church there at Corinth. Talking about harvesting. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I begin reading at verse 6. Paul writes, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Jesus gave many parables during his lifetime, and one of the parables was of the sower. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 3, it tells us, there went out a sower to sow. If someone is going to sow seed, they have to go out. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 says, the seed is the word of God. And the seed needs to be sown in our society. But then we're going to see what the parable is all about in Matthew chapter 13, please, if you would. Matthew 13, beginning at verse 18. Matthew 13, verse 18. Jesus said, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Seed has been planted, and the wicked one, our enemy, has come to remove the seed. He does not want people to accept the Lord as Savior. He does not want people to realize that they need a Savior and that the only way they can get into heaven is through Jesus Christ. He has planted weeds so that people will believe that they can work their way to heaven, or if they're good enough, God has to allow them into heaven. No, there's only one way into heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. We continue reading. Verse 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon or at once with joy received it. Yet hath he not root in himself. We'll stop there for a moment. He receives the seed, but there's no root. Maybe as Christmas passed, a few days or a week, you drove by someone on garbage pickup day and you saw a Christmas tree outside. Why was that Christmas tree taken outside for rubbish? It was going to die, right? Why was it going to die? Because they'd cut off the roots. You have to have roots if you're going to grow. And if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you need to have roots. You need to grow in the faith. But notice it continues in verse 21, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Oh, how many people have said they were offended by the preaching of the word of God. They were offended because they had to repent and change. And people said, hey, why do you want to act that way? You can't have any fun if you're a believer. I believe you can have lots of fun if you're a believer. But they are bothered. Tribulation and persecution will come. Verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. One has said, saved but useless. Folks, we are to do good works because we are saved. We are to serve our Lord and Savior. He is our King. Let me say something to you right here. If you get nothing else out of my message today, it is a privilege to be a born-again believer. It is a privilege to work for the Lord. It is not a curse. It is not something that we should say, oh, woe is me, I've got to do this for the Lord. No, you should be excited that you get to do it for the Lord. That the Lord has chosen you to be usable. Be glad of it. Don't let things get in the way that keep us from doing that which is necessary in today's society. Verse 23, but he that received seed into the good ground, oh, may you be good ground. May the seed grow, and as it says here, he heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Oh, at the harvest time, may we see fruit. May it be said of each and every one of us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I do not know, and we are not told what Elimelech and Naomi had as a faith before they left Judah. But while in Moab, things went bad. When you're out of the will of God, do not expect the blessings of God. And so she came back empty, bitter. May I say this? Don't be bitter with God. Have a right relationship with Him. Love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Do you care for Him greatly? Do you want to serve Him? Do you want to be used? She came back at the barley harvest. It's not by mistake they came back at that time. We'll learn more about that soon. Shall we stand together? Our invitation song this morning is 375, Just As I Am. Will you come to Him? And if you have, will you allow Him to use you? Will you allow Him to have His hand upon you so that you can be fruitful? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this time of invitation, we ask, Lord, that You would bless it. Encourage us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to remain faithful. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.